Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and we are in part two with our good friend Dominic DeLuca from Massachusetts on the border of Rhode Island. And some exciting stories that we got to share last time about, you know, he was spoken about a year and a half ago, transition. He started to sort that through in terms of, okay, Father, what are you showing me? And he started to show him, one of which is the business. And he was shown that, well, actually, you got two businesses, and they really can't be put together in terms of a transition. So you're going to have to think differently, which he did. He had an opportunity with the one half of the business to sell it and look like it was going to be good. Even, and this is kind of cool, Dom, I love that you shared with this about you got this letter of intent on your birthday, you know, and again, as we look at, oh, well then that God is blessing is going to happen, you know, and, but he said, yeah, it is on your birthday, but I want you to know the truth of this. And when you did, you started to process that. Like, well, I'm not so sure about this piece of it. And what about this? And God showed you because of his Holy Spirit and you pursuing truth. No, this is a no. And I'll give you the yes. I'll show you the yes. And you'll pursue that. As you know, you just made a statement about this and we'd like to hear more about it. You said you put up on your website a thing about prayer and that's led to some interesting things. So tell us about, first of all, how did you come to that place of you're going to put it up there? And then what's happened with that?
So sometime last year, after reading the Lead on Mission book, we get asked in C12 what our number one, you know, what do you want the headline to be next year about how your company did the previous year? And I forget how exactly worded, but it was like that Jesus, you know, I don't know if I said Jesus came out of the closet, just something to the fact that full on Jesus, you know, we're just not going to, I'm not going to hold back. And then I was abiding on what does that look like? And the Lord spoke to me and said, put prayer on your website. So I contacted my marketing person and we put a button that said, my wife and I, originally it was me, but my wife wanted to be involved. I said, oh, absolutely. So I said, my wife and I would like to pray for you. And then we had done a Christmas mailing, which was, you have permission at Easter and Christmas to be a little more Jesus-y. So we were. And then as part of it, we had that link, which took you to a website, which we've put resources on now where, you know, for like divorce care, grief care, and stuff like that.
That's great.
And as of today, that site is the number two linked hit site since we put it up. I mean, we did this Christmas video that, you know, took hours of me producing it, and more people opened up the prayer page. We've had a handful of people ask for prayer, not a whole lot of them, but people are going there. And that, you know, that the other thing I'm trying to do is link that with the statement of faith that's on the website too, to, so, you know, try to get it so it's a legitimate presentation of the gospel, if you would. So but in that, a couple things happened. I had a regional manager for the company that I'm trying to transition out of. He says, you know, I'm not a, he calls me up. He goes, I saw your prayer on your website. He says, I'm not, you know, really that, but there's a person in the company that I'd like you to pray for. And he actually put a prayer request in for someone else, which opened it up for me to actually just share God with him amongst, you know, quite a bit since then. We've had probably 10 customers contact us, and we continually pray for them every day, reach out occasionally. But I've had some Christians contact me, not with prayer requests, but say to me, thank you for being so bold with your faith in our industry. And I kind of use that, because I know we're going to talk about mentoring, as an opportunity to tell them, you know, I respond right back. I go, well, I am putting a prayer request in that you are bold and you are light in your workplace. Mm. And I've had a chance to meet with a couple of them and just talk about that. Mm. Well, one story that came up that caused me to abide on something was a conversation I had with one of them. And I was talking about how, you know, how we incorporate Jesus in our workplace, you know, loving our customers and kind of the fruits of the Spirit that we try to represent with our customers and our employees and our vendors and stuff. And then he kind of pushed back at the end and he said, well, where is sin? You know? And I go, well, I don't lead with that, but, right. So, I don't lead with that because I'm not sure, you know, I'm a sales guy. That's kind of like, I don't know, but that caused me to go abide on that piece about sin. So I sought the Trinity. I went to Google, Alexa, and Siri, and I said, where is the first words Jesus says to anybody, really, you know, other than Satan when he was tempted? And it happens to be repent. Like, well, that's not what I was hoping for. And as I abided on that, and this is for me, this is my, because it's really helping me articulate how to have that conversation with my customers and strangers and people that I am presenting the gospel that might come back and ask me. And as I abided on it, I was able to drill down. And the definition I got in the Blue Letter Bible was, the first one was, think differently. Mm-hmm. And I really, to me, I really loved that, because that's a little, not dumbing it down, I'm not making it softer, but it is a much easier way to leverage into sin, repent, by saying, think differently. Reconsider, change, you know, if you consider changing your mind about how you live. So I think the Lord there gave me, because I've been praying about what is my message to anybody that comes back and asks me, what am I going to say? Because it's a different, if you would, congregation than someone on a Sunday morning. So that was a cool thing I think God gave me as a way to get in, to dip my foot into that type of a conversation.
Yeah.
And the other one that came up and was the whole concept where Satan asked to sift Peter. Simon, Satan is. And the word sift stuck out to me, right? And that's who you say, if something sticks out, go look it out. Mm-hmm. And it means an inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow.
Yep. And then by the way, let me stop you right there. Just one thing I want to highlight. Something is that abiding is, you know, you're in the Word, you're having God speak the Word to you, and a word, you know, kind of pops out, and it's called a quickening of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Is that I want you, God, you know, the Holy Spirit, I want you to pay attention to this. I want to say something about this, and it's usually about words that you come across, like sift. Okay, that's good. Now, when he says that, and that's what Dom did, and then he'll help us understand where he went with this. But the original word, Old and New Testament, are written in Hebrew and Greek. And Hebrew and Greek happen to be two of the most beautiful languages in the history of the world, because every word has a precise meaning to it. And it's a very thorough meaning of, and in the English, see, we can't really express that in a great way. And partly is that we take the word like sift, and we would look at it, well, you're sifting flour, you know, and okay, and then we just leave it there. But when the Spirit says, no, I want you to go deeper with this, what it means is get to the Greek and Hebrew, and which we have a privilege of doing. You can go to studylight.org. It's called Get to the Interlinear Bible, that you go to the computer and click, get an interlinear Bible, and you click like studylight.org on that word sift. And then all comes up this definition, which now takes you to start to see what I'm trying to show you. And it's not like, oh, that's nice. It's what the heck does this mean? And what are you trying to say to me about this? So that's what happened with what Dom did when he said, I want to look into that. And we would encourage everybody that as you're in the Word, you're going to have that happen to you, and learn to go the deeper place where God wants to. And it's not just to say, isn't that a nice definition? And what Don's going to help us understand is that as he started to understand that, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Where did that go? And so listen to what, you know, Don shared. So, okay. So you went into, and what did you start learning about that word?
Well, what was it that Satan was doing that was going to bring Simon to overthrow his faith? And then you read this 1,000 times, right? It was to deny Christ. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that sounds important and sounds big. And and as a business guy who, you know, when I started this out 5 years ago before C12, you know, wouldn't put ministry on my website. It had to be, you know, giving back. Fast forward now to, it's a little bit more out there, but I think this was God again confirming and giving me more confidence to let Jesus be more part of my business. Because it's when you present Jesus in your business, it's not what you think. People are not running away. I have not been able to track any downside to business. As a matter of fact, after I started this, I looked at my opt-outs and they're no worse. If anything, they were a little bit less. So I think what God was telling me here is don't be afraid because this is what Satan does. Satan's trick is to get you to deny Christ here. That's what, you know, that's what Satan was trying to do to Simon. And so it just solidified in me that I need to be, I wouldn't say more bold because I'm pretty bold when I'm in Christian circles. It's to be me everywhere, be authentic me everywhere.
That's good.
And talk
When you got to that word sift, what specifically did you see there?
I saw that it would overthrow that if by denying Christ, it could overthrow my faith. Because of guilt and for a variety of reasons, it's sin. It's the denial of Christ, and that's what I really was sensing was if this is the one example Jesus uses, maybe we should pay attention to it. You know, and then you know we know the story about him denying him, and I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, which is interesting, didn't really realize he said that, but when you return to me, because you are gonna strengthen your brethren. Meaning, share your testimony, be an encouragement to them. So it just seemed to have a lot more weight to me, and the whole overthrow my faith and the whole importance of how Jesus, you know, okay, I'm allowing Satan to do this. I'm praying for you. And it happened to be about denying your faith, which, you know, this person that I thought about buying my company, he had hidden the Christian wording in there. I knew he was Christian because I was a Christian. I could tell. And how many times do I do that? I put secret message in my text, you know, to let people know, you know. So God was easy to use. God bless you. God was an easy word, but to use Jesus and then ultimately start using the word Christ was totally different. And that's sort of the pathway path I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you yourself are learning this, and by the way, this is involving now the transition that God has spoken to you is that, you know, you've been a great worship leader, but I want to carry you to some new places of now mentoring others in a simple way. Mentoring, if we're going to be a mentor discipler, it means we have to actually understand what's happening for us. You know, so you got led to, you know, this issue of boldness and don't let the enemy sift you and put you in a position where you overthrow your faith. And you're learning all this. Well, talk about where that's headed with this thought of God transitioning you to a go make disciples, go mentor people. What's that look like now for you?
So if I look into what's happened in the last several months, I've had more people come up to me and tell me what either a word or a scripture has done for them. And even today, as I was preparing, I'm realizing that people are listening and that I need to be so careful that I'm before God and what I say is because people are starting to trust what I say. And I need to be careful. There's responsibility there and cautious to make sure that what I'm saying is of God and not of me.
Yeah.
But been several people that and unprovoked have shared like in a group environment and pointed me out and said, you said this and this is what it did for me. And some of those have turned into closer relationships where I felt more open to just, you know, continuing that and following up on it and going deeper. The whole experience in God thing, giving that to people and talking about, like we'll call them, hey, did you read this one? This was great. And how it impacted me has been a journey for both me and my wife. That's a wonderful thing that we've done together is we have a stack of them here. We just said, oh, should we bring one to Pennsylvania and give it to my sister? Mm. Yeah, definitely. So we have them in inventory. So along with some of your devotionals that we've had from the retreats we've done left over, we've given those away too and gotten people into journaling. It's another thing we've encouraged people to do is journal. Once a month at Sean's, at our church, we have an abiding meeting and there've been as much as 25. Last week was only 3, but I think that's because it wasn't really announced correctly. But people are coming with their experiencing gods. They're coming with their journals and, you know, we're doing the thing. Let's go off. Let's give them a topic and come back with something. And somebody comes up with something and it's like, God, this, you know, at some point I'm going to stop saying, I hope this works, you know, but, it God is faithful. And being, so we were doing a whole lot more of that than, and that's not a prepare on a Thursday night, come on a Sunday morning. That's a wherever we are, whoever God puts in our path type of ministry.
Yeah. And as you talk about, you know, building relationships and walking, how do you help them to grow? So you don't have a program for it. It's you walking with somebody. How do you do that with individuals that you're being used by God to help them connect through abiding and living the life of God, and you're just walking with them? Talk a little bit about how you do that piece of it where you're just walking alongside of them.
So probably two things is, first, I'm always bringing it back to abiding in that you have to hear from God. Like, okay, well, have you abided on this, right?
Yes.
That's not fun.
No, it all, it, matter of fact, it was so funny. At C12 group, Rick will look at me and I'll go, yeah, abiding, you know, like this is abiding. All roads lead to abiding.
Yeah.
And it is a word used a lot in the scripture. I don't know why people go, what is this thing?
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
But so I'm always, those that I know have been exposed to abiding, I'll either say, have you abided on this? What has God told you? Have you got to a place where God can speak to you? Or this is the power of abiding. This is really a situation that really is why you need abiding. So there's that. And then those that may, you know, either are abiders or are not, if I have relationships with them and I know what's going on, generally I abide on my to-do list in the morning. And a lot of times my to-do list has reach out to somebody, call somebody. And, you know, sometimes I probe around for issues. I'm a sales guy. It's my job has always been to find problems in companies, right? So I can do that with people. And then to try to bring Christ into that situation and try to show what God might be telling them, but that they ultimately need to go find God on them, you know, and that he's faithful to speak to you. So,
yeah. And as you understand that, and that actually, you know, when we disciple or mentor somebody, it's not give them a three-step program, but it's to connect them so that, and you said it, they start hearing from God. They start walking with God. And you're now confirming that. And talk about why that is so important as we all are called to disciple. I said make disciples. It's not have them join a program. It's rather you walk with them to connect them to me, you know, God speaking. So talk to us about why you see that being such a significant understanding.
Well, because God knows, God's going to tell them more about what he needs them to do. And they're going to have more confidence in God than they would me. You know, I like the example of, you know, he will make your path straight. Lean not on your own understanding, but he will make your path straight. And I'm always saying, a lot of times our way is a 45, you know, mile drive to get 3 miles, and backtracking is not fun, and it causes a lot of damage and a lot of missed opportunities. Leaning on, you know, when you lean on God's understanding, you don't have to go on that detour. You don't have to backtrack, which probably a lot of the backtracking has repentance and forgiveness and offenses in it, and a lot of goofy stuff. You know, so it's that type of an encouragement to seek God, to, because he knows best what you want. I can't tell you. I don't, you know, he might tell me, but it's much better when he tells you. And in my experience, and I say this, has been, you know, when you go a year into abiding, 2 years, and you realize the track record that God has, and that's experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know I can get up on a bike and ride 35 miles because I've done it several times. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get before God and get an answer because he's given me an answer for 2 years straight. So right now, if we're on year almost five, I guess, while time flies. So it's that confidence. And I think having done it now for 2 to 3 years, knowing the confidence, being the shy introvert that I am, you know, I like to tell people. I was joking about the shy introvert, if you hadn't noticed, but I think that's what I'm called to do. You know, who knows? That's what I'm called to do, is to share that. And it generally comes up. It comes up all the time, which is why I think whatever is on the other side for me has something to do with abiding. Now, I was going to joke that, you know, even if God tells me to go pump gas, well, I guess I abided. So that would have something to do with abiding too, right? But, you know, I just see that as something in the next transition, whether it be discipling more, a little bit more strategic, maybe more retreats, stuff like that. But yeah. So we have had two retreats. We had one at Rich Cajero's house, and then we had one at my condo in North Conway.
Nice.
For the leaders of the church. And the other thing I'm trying to do is get the leadership, all the leadership of our church to be part of abiding. It's like, how can we lead if we're not hearing from God and right. all in unity. I mean, it's really only the only way to be in total unity.
That's right. Yeah. And as we, you know, because of, you know, our relationship and what you're up to, that, see, we get the privilege of what, you know, you and I can process further about giving that away, you know, through retreats and things, and you have this beautiful home to do that with. And so it'll be fun as we, you know, again, this is how it works, is that, well, God's up to something. Let's go walk together and see what he has to say about that. And he'll show us. We have the privilege of doing that. And then you made a statement that as you're gaining confidence because you are willing to abide, willing to receive, willing to follow, see God provide answers and resolution and spectacular things, you're gaining in confidence. At this point, as you're gaining in that confidence, would you ever stop doing that?
You mean stop gaining, like more gaining, more confidence?
Stop abiding and say, you know, I've learned how to do this and I've gained confidence in the beauty of that. Would you ever stop now doing that?
Well, I hope not.
No. Yeah, see, you know, wouldn't no. because, you know, when we first start out, we're not sure. But as we do, God, let me show you the truth of that and the beauty of that and the wonder of that. And I'm going to gain more confidence. And I love your analogy is that, you know, when you first started, you know, riding, you know, bikes, you know, could you do 35 miles? You know, no, but you stayed with it. You built confidence. So now you wouldn't even think twice about, oh yeah, I can do that. Why? Well, because you did it. You've done it. What a beautiful story. So Dom,
can I ask one more quick question?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Kathy, go ahead.
I just wanted to see, you know, you've got this transition ahead of you, you and Don both. And for a lot of people, transition equals anxiety, right? But we obviously see you walking, even though it's a journey here, walking in peace and joy in the midst of the transition. Do you want to share maybe what you're most excited about, something that God is laying ahead of you that you are holding on to? Like, this is part of why I'm looking forward to the transition.
Well, there's some personal stuff, like, you know, being able to ski and bike and do, you know, husband and wife stuff together. And I mean, we have no issue. I could not work another day. I mean, we might be bored some of the time, but we do so much together. But on the you know, more serious side, the opportunity to just be more free. To me, too, the other thing I see is the company that I'm looking to keep. He's a great Christian believer. He's not as outgoing as I am. And I've shared with him, I said, you know, your company reach is bigger than your church. You know, you're a pastor of more people than your pastor. Yeah. And how can I come alongside you and help you leverage that for Christ?
That's
I just see that as an opportunity. And then the company that, you know, might be, that I'm going to see tomorrow that might, he's the president now is a great Christian. The owner, when I shared my core values and mission vision last year, said to him, do we do that? Don't we do that? And he go, well, yeah, but not as strategically as intentional as Dom, but certainly there's an openness. So I don't know, again, I don't want to be the guy that says, oh, you know, I see Jesus over here, or it's going to be great. I have no idea, but I do feel at least a call to be bold about that and to present that to them. And I mean, it's to them and God, whether they do it or not. So I see that as a transition. Don't know where it would lead me from a, you know, retreat. I'd love to stand in a booth with you guys and convey this message and be a testimony there for what you do at some point. I tell people I don't do trade shows. They're a waste of time, but I actually enjoyed that part of it. Maybe because there's more eternal value than this thing's going to last for 20 years and then you're going to throw it away. So,
yeah, that's beautiful. We're so excited for you. Heavenly Father, we just lift up Don and Dawn and his transition of mentorship and even with this impact that he may have on another company to help them be more bold as he was more bold. And now it's led to great opportunity for him to give it away. And it's not to draw them to a program. It's to draw them to you, to hear your voice, to walk with you because you know. And you're building that confidence in Dom. The beautiful thing is he does understand it. It's about freedom and the joy of that. And what a privilege that is that we all have that. If we abide in you, we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. And that's happening with them. So we just pray a blessing over them. Pray the life of joy as it's being transitioned to discipling and mentoring and enjoying just together things like skiing and biking and just the joy of life. And we pray that over them now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dom, and for just sharing in this. Such an encouragement to see and hear the stories of you walking step by step with God through all of this. It's definitely encouraging to us all. So if you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then. Dom, we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.